previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of Monday Night Talk. Just a quick tease coming up, 8 o'clock, South Shore Live with Stan and his gang. And promises to be a good conversation.
He always brings food. Every time every time I come visit, I'm leaving and they're bringing in food.
Maybe you'll have to stay for his show.
No, they should come in earlier and bring food.
All right, so our next, it's an interview.
Well,
with John Astin.
Well,
John Astin was part of the radio TV classics that was broadcast. It was at Massasoit. Yes. We broadcast them here on 959 WATD. I think the first, hour and a half, 2 hours.
The shadow
knows. Yeah. Well, I had a chance. The idea was John was going to come on to kind of tease the show prior to the show being at the Buckley Performing Arts Center.
Right.
But we were not able to get that done. So what I did was in the interim, had a chance to speak with John afterwards. Now you're like, oh, well, why would you want to do that? John's a very interesting guy.
And
Larry Nelson would attest, because Larry had to be there to engineer the broadcast.
You got a good picture of him.
He did get a good picture of him. But the guy was just, he was amazing to watch as he interacted with some of the other folks who are on stage doing old radio, you know, stuff.
Mm.
You know, all the shows that they used to do back in the day. And so I had an opportunity to sit down, meet up with him before he got on the train to head back down to Baltimore, because he's actually a professor.
Mm-hmm.
He actually teaches acting.
Wow.
Who knew? Okay. So what we'll do, let's roll our interview with one Mr. John Astin, best known as Gomez Adams on The Addams Family. Welcome to a special taping of Monday Night Talk with the one and only John Astin, who is my special guest. Welcome to Monday Night Talk, Mr. Astin.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
I want to start our conversation first. I don't know how often you have been up in this area, whether you're performing, doing one-man shows, or just visiting with fans, but you recently were part of a fantastic radio TV program that was on stage at the Buckley Performing Arts Center at Massasoit. Radio TV Classics, Pulled Out of Mothballs After 6 Years, starring yourself. What was that like?
Well, yeah, great. Benefit, it was a benefit performance to provide scholarships to the community college. And so everybody showed up for nothing. Nobody got paid. And that certainly created a wonderful spirit for the whole thing.
What was your most memorable moment during the program? Were there a collection of them?
Well, I think... I think one of the, for me, one of the high points was the Ethel and Albert program redo that we had, and this was a marvelously well-written piece, and that
Beth Morrell.
Beth Morrell, yep. Yeah.
Two times nothing?
Yeah. We both enjoyed doing that a great deal.
If I could ask, your background, being not only an actor, a thespian, but also being someone who teaches acting, but also somebody who, from some of the information I got for background, and you can either confirm or deny this, somebody who studied mathematics.
Yeah, I started college on a scholarship as a math major. And found out I would have to take freshman English. And I'd had a very sad experience in high school with an English teacher. And I didn't want to take freshman English. And I discovered that it was a requirement that I couldn't get out of it. So I went to the English teacher and said, look, I don't like your subject. I don't think much of it. I think it's really just an excuse to BS. I don't think it's about anything, really. And I'm lucky that he was a lot smarter than I was. He said, I said, I don't want to do any more work than I have to do. So if you could let me know what I have to do to get a decent grade, because I want to keep my scholarship. But don't expect any more from me. He said, okay, I'll help you out there. He said, but on one condition. He said that from time to time I give you something to read, and I want you to report back to me as to whether or not it's about something.
He threw
my own phrase right back at me. I said, well, don't expect too much there. I believe just in math and the hard sciences, and that's where my head is. So the first thing he gave me a couple of weeks later was Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness. And I read it, and I went, wow. I went back to him and said, say, this is really about something. And he said, I'm glad you agree with me. And then he gave me something else. And before long, I was an avid student of his. And eventually, he got me to take part in a play reading. I didn't want to, but he insisted, and so I...
Kind of glad he did, huh?
I sure am.
He paid dividends.
Yep. And also, at the same time, a friend of mine at Worcester College in Worcester, Ohio, had written me to say his roommate was in a play that next weekend, and why didn't I hitchhike out and take a look and see his roommate in this play? Well, I got there and I discovered that the author of the play, who was named Thornton Wilder, was also playing the leading role in the play. It was Our Town. That was, for me, a profound experience. And I, as I was hitchhiking back to college, I thought, this is really interesting. This play got me to change my way of thinking. Or it enhanced stuff that I had thought about for years. And so I was really interested in finding out more about this thing called drama. And as a result, the following year, I was in a one-act play that this English professor directed, and along with another one-act play that a friend of mine was in. And the experience of being on the stage was really thrilling. And I remember going back into the mocked-up theater that we had in some ROTC building. The set was still up. And we had two performances, one on Friday, one on Saturday. This was Sunday afternoon. And I got inside the building and went through the whole play all by myself just to try to recapture that feeling. And so I decided to transfer schools to where there was a little more to learn about theater. And I never expected it to happen, but after one semester at the new school, which was Johns Hopkins University.
Mm-hmm.
The first school was Washington and Jefferson College, where I was really introduced to all this. And the professor was Dr. C.C. Walcott, who was called Bill for some reason I never understood. But he and his wife were very kind to me. And while I was there at Johns Hopkins, I changed my major to, they then had a drama major. I came back a few years ago to Johns Hopkins to try to reestablish this theater. Sounds like that organ music wants to be on your show.
It does. Yeah. the background. That's okay. Yeah. I'm watching the monitoring, and you're overwhelming it. So I would worry about
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
And it's funny you mention that, because I wanted to ask you, because I don't think there's many universities or colleges that actually have somebody who is from their craft, being an actor, who is actually giving back. Is that true?
Well,
it's a rarity, isn't it?
Who's fairly well known, you know. I don't... most actors who have a reputation are working in the theater, and... not that there isn't plenty of work for me, there is, but I really want to sort of spread this idea I have about a slightly different approach to acting, which I think works very well. I think it helps establish credibility for the actor, and also provides the actor with a certain amount of security on stage, and I think that works.
Well, most folks know you from a number of different things, and I don't want to just cite one thing, because that's not fair, because I remember you from a number of things, as does my stepdaughter Caitlin, who is kind of sitting here. Great as Gomez, but Eddie on Night Court. You've done voice you aren't
Buddy.
A buddy.
Buddy.
Eddie.
Yeah,
Buddy.
Buddy Ryan.
Buddy, who was a reoccurring role.
Same name as the football coach.
Absolutely. you also, Buddy Ryan, right.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you've appeared on certain things, Twilight Zone, Night Gallery. You've even done stuff with some of the newer projects of the Addams Family. And even Batman. Folks probably don't know that you, for one season, played the Riddler.
No, just two episodes. That's
doesn't
all.
Matter. You still did it.
I had a great
once time. Once is an accident. It was meant to be.
I had a great time doing it. I enjoyed it.
What was it like working with a guy like Adam West? We know that he recently passed, and folks are mourning his passing. How well did you know him?
Well, I had done a number of things with Adam. We enjoyed, working on Batman, but I had known him a little before that, and then after Batman, he did a guest shot on a series I was doing at the time called Operation Petticoat.
Yep.
He was always a very intelligent, witty actor. And they could never have found anybody as perfect for that role as Adam was. He was truly very funny in that part, and he played it straight enough so that all the kids perhaps didn't get the humor, but
it was memorable.
Saw him as a superhero, and loved watching the show.
Hands down, probably the best Batman. Whether it's TV series or the movies. Let's not forget.
Well,
not only was
and also
series.
The approach.
Right.
Lorenzo Semple, who wrote the the first episode of that and a number of the better episodes had a great talent as a writer, and also a good friend of mine was one of the writers on that show, Stanley Ralph Ross, who actually was a former writing partner. We worked together at one point. Stanley did all kinds of stuff. He wrote so many things. Wrote that musical about Chaplin. Was a good friend. I remember I had tickets to the very first Super Bowl. And my then wife did not want to go. And my kids weren't quite old enough to appreciate that kind of ticket. And so I asked Stanley if he wanted to go. Oh, yeah. And so we always commemorated Super Bowl Day as an anniversary of our having seen that first one.
Excellent. And being here that you're in New England, where recently the New England Patriots won it for... Yet
another
fifth time.
Another time. Yeah.
Another time. Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. You're not down on the Patriots, are you?
Well, I'm a Ravens fan Baltimore, so what can I tell you?
It's all good.
That's all right.
Everybody likes a rivalry.
I certainly appreciate the skill and talent that has gone into making the Patriots such a powerful team.
And Baltimore's won two in the last 20 years.
Right? Yeah.
And recently, yeah. I want to say probably in the last 7 years, they won one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but not enough.
Not enough. I get you. You mentioned your children. You have children who are in the business. I believe during the program you mentioned Mackenzie is acting. And, of course, everybody knows Sean, who doesn't love Rudy. That's like a man-tier movie right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, all five of my kids have one way or another been
somehow
on television.
It, right?
Yeah. Or I've done some acting one way or another. The last two, the two youngest, or Sean and Mac, have made careers out of it.
How often are you the dad who's giving advice or you're talking with them? Is it like a daily basis, every other day?
Well, almost. I owe Sean a call right now.
Sean, did you hear that? He's going to be calling.
Now we have grandchildren, too. Last weekend, not this recent weekend, but the one before... we got a surprise visit from my granddaughter, who's Sean's oldest daughter, who is going to Harvard. And she and her fiancé, both in the same year at school, came down. And they're a lovely couple and a lot of fun to be with. So... we dedicated the weekend to them, and Val and I had a great time.
Excellent. Again, we're speaking with the great actor, John Astin, who we're fortunate he was in town. We had a chance to speak with him at the conclusion of taking part in a production of Radio TV Classics Live. This was in Brockton at Massasoit Community College. I want to kind of beckon back just to take a moment.
I just want to make a little promo for this event and for the college.
Absolutely.
The people who put this on. It's really
a wonderful.
Well, you saw it. It's a wonderful event. And I hope they do it again. This is supposed to be the last one.
I would ask you is your memories of the Addams Family, if you could. I mean, again, folks know you from that.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a cornerstone in your career, but amongst other things.
Yeah, it's a wonderful memory. I'm very lucky to have done a role in a piece that had such an impact on people. I know a number of people who have put us on their skin as a form of dedication, and
the quintessential Wednesday Addams probably would do that.
That's a beautiful thing that they feel that dedicated.
What's the one thing when you think about doing the Addams Family that still sticks with you this day, a particular memory or two that, you remember from whether you're producing it or out meeting with fans?
Well, the thing I remember is the congeniality we had as a group. It was a wonderful collection of very talented people. I was lucky that they came to me first. The creator of the show, David Levy, somehow wanted me to be in it. I never did an audition or anything like that, but I met with David and we talked about what the characters should be like and so on. And he had already hired writers whom I knew, Ed James and Seaman Jacobs, and they wrote this presentation film. And we were gonna try to cast it, and so we had these auditions and tests, and that's where we found Ted Cassidy, and Jackie Coogan did a wonderful test, and and Blossom Rock did, and we tested Lisa Loring and Ken Weatherwax, and everything was great, except that we just couldn't find a Morticia. And somebody got the idea to offer the part to Carolyn Jones. And I was all for it. And she was delighted. And so we had that that romance.
Chemistry?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was so much fun to work with. And Ted and Jackie were close friends of mine, and Blossom Rock, who played my mother on the show, became a friend of my own mother.
Wow.
And
close knit family.
Yeah, we were shocked when the show was canceled. But we never dreamed that it would be rerun as long as it has been.
Did you, when they did, they cast Raul Julia as in the two Addams Family movies, did you get any kind of consideration at all?
No, there were legal problems involved, and they weren't able to do that. I would have been interested, but for whatever reason, they weren't able to use the services of anyone who was connected with the television show.
Okay.
So that's what happened.
If fans, do you have a website or social media that you do, if folks want to follow you and see what you're up to?
You know, I've never put up a website, and I'm planning to do that maybe later this summer.
Okay.
I put one up and get some photos out there and of all the roles that I've done. And it could be kind of fun for fans to get pictures of Buddy Ryan on Night Court or Evil Roy Slade.
Sure.
Or
maybe some photos of when you did the one-man show, Poe?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that?
Photos of Poe. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I did that for 7 years, you know.
We know. And we were hoping to mention it, but we know the time's short, so we're getting ready to wrap up.
Well, Kevin, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. And doing this show was a real pleasure.
Let's hopefully we can have you call in one of these times down the road if you got anything that you're looking to promote.
Terrific.
And talk more.
I'll give you a blast.
All right, there he is, Mr. John Astin, actor and, of course, professor at Johns Hopkins University. If you're looking for a course with a guy who knows his stuff, I would suggest head on down to Baltimore. Big Ravens fan. Thank you, John, very much for joining us.
Thank you. Also Orioles fan.
Orioles fan, also.
I love the O's, too. It's a great sports town. Small town, actually.
Great sports town, though.
Yeah.
So I'll have to say that we'll save that little last snippet for our D.C. correspondent, Steve Burns, who is down there working for WMAL. And that was the great John Astin. Very nice. Nice touch, Larry. Larry, quickly bringing that up. And I got to say, while you didn't hear it in the interview, when we're wrapping everything up, I actually asked him. One little thing that folks may or may not know was that while he was doing a lot of acting in theater prior to being discovered for TV and movies, that it was Tony Randall who had come across him.
Yes.
And it was one of the things that he had mentioned to me was that Tony Randall, there were other projects that they had discussed doing, but because of time, because of their schedules, they weren't able to do. But they both were trained, they had similar training when it came to acting. And so that's why they kind of clicked. One of those real cool things. But it was, yeah. Yes, Larry snapped his fingers. But it was fun to be able to sit down and talk with John Astin and also notice that he is a big sports fan and a regular guy, too. Again, I was there with my stepdaughter, Caitlin, who went with me to sit down and be a part of the interview and take pictures and just kind of get an idea of him traveling up here to be a part of that event that helped raise some money for college, I guess the giveaway scholarships.
Right, right.
Down at the community college. So very cool to be able to talk with him about that and get a little insight and even kind of talk with him about something timely like, you know, Adam West passing and knowing that he played, the Riddler for two shows. So definitely very cool.
Well, we're just talking about it off the air while the segment was going on, and all the things that he was in, and some of the stuff that we grew up with, and just the old radio shows that he was on.
Right,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and I actually, I don't know if you heard, I get to finish it because he wanted to explain to me why he was into. He was big into math when he went to college.
Right,
but if it wasn't for his professor, because he wanted to do as less as possible, he wouldn't have to do a lot of homework, but he was introduced to a couple of a variety of books by a professor that just kind of just sucked him right in.
Wow.
Which was really, really cool, because he did that Ethel and Albert skit, Two Times Nothing, which could be kind of funny, and the question I was asking him there was, well, being somebody who was a math major who got into math, I would think that you would have a quick answer for, why she was trying to say two times nothing doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, that it should still be two, not zero.
Well, just the way he pulled it off, it was amazing.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's all the time that we have here. Thank you for tuning in to Monday Night Talk. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great evening.